Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody here today believe that Jesus is worthy to be praised?
Amen.
Amen. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. For surely he is worthy. Amen. Amen. This is our season where we look back and remember the sacrifice that he has made for us all. And if there's any time that we shouldn't have to pump, prime, push, yell, shout, pull you to do anything about worshiping and praising God, this ought to be that season. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. For if you are like me, I truly appreciate the sacrifice he made. Because it is the sacrifice he made that gave me the life that I have. And without that sacrifice, I wouldn't have this life. And because of that, I ought to at least say thank you, sir. Amen. There's nothing like doing something for somebody and they don't have the decency to say thank you. Oh, I'm about to preach already. Amen. Amen. Let's just get ready to take up tithes and offering. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. But God is worthy to be praised. Amen.
Amen,
amen. Let us bow our heads. Let them in. Go ahead, let them in. Let us bow our heads. Our Father God, we come now to say thank you, God, for your presence with us. And we want you to know that we do not take it lightly. For surely you do not have to worship with us. Surely you don't have to allow us to sit in your presence. But Master, you love us so much, you allow us to draw near unto you so that we can receive what we need. And for that, we want to say thank you. We thank you now for what you're going to give us, what you're going to say to us, how you're going to touch us. The way you move us, the way you caress us where we need caressing, the way you comfort us where we need to be comforted, where you lift us where we need to be lifted. Allow us to experience all these things today. It's in your Son Jesus Christ's holy name we do now pray. Let our heart say amen.
Amen.
Amen. We now have our opening hymn, hymn 480.
serving until Yes, I do.
Anybody in here thankful? Let me ask that question one more time. I didn't expect for to get a response like that. So let me ask that one more time. Anybody in here today, are you thankful? Amen. 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 God said, don't be quiet. Amen. He said, let the redeemer of the Lord say so. Amen. Amen, amen. So next time I ask you, are you thankful, what you going to do? Amen, amen. For surely our God is worthy to be praised. Amen. And I apologize if I ask you to do that too much. But I don't think you can.
Amen.
Amen. If your God has been as good to you as my God has been to me, I wish I could thank him more. Amen. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Our Father, the one who loved us so much that he gave all that he had. He gave his very best. You thought enough of us not to cheat us, not to hold back, not to keep from us. You think so much of us that when the decision had to be made, you made it without even hesitating. To give your very best to a people who you knew would sin, to a people who you knew would turn against you, to a people who lacked love for each other, to a people who stumble along the way, say things and do things they ought not do. But yet and still, when that time came, you made it without hesitating. So we come to you this morning to say thank you for being that kind of God where your love never weakens, but your love empowers. Your love can lift us out of the pits of life. Your love can cover us from our sins. Your love shine light in darkness. Your love give us what we need. Thank you now for your love. Thank you for you being love. Thank you for you loving us. We come this morning, Master, asking now that for us who are in this congregation, that, Master, we keep our minds on you, and that we focus on you, and that we appease you and please you in everything that we do. For surely you are worthy of us giving you our best. Let us reciprocate what you have given unto us. Let us give you our very best out of our lives, Master, out of our souls, out of our hearts. Allow us to give you our very best, which is all of us. We come this morning to give you all of us. Hide and keep nothing from you, but to share everything that we have with the Lord who has given everything that he has. We ask now these blessings in your son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen. Amen. We ask now that the officers will come for the purpose of tithing and offering. Thank you. Father God, we come now, and Master, say thank you for these gifts that have been given here today. And Master, as the stewardship ministry spoke today, allow these funds to build those ministry so we can continue to serve the kingdom of God. We ask now these blessings in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we do now pray. And let every heart say amen.
provided for me. Great is your mercy towards me. Great is your grace.
Amen. That was a different rendition. I thought you were still going to sing some more. Amen. They looking at me. I'm looking at them. Amen. Amen. Great is your mercy towards me. How awesome is the mercies of God. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we won't keep you long since we're late in the hour, and we do have another church to go to with the First Lady. And I do want to go home and not fight this evening. So I will keep this short. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we're going to go back to Romans 8 and verse 30. Romans chapter 8, verse 30. Say amen when you're there. Romans chapter 8, verse 30 reads, it says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Amen. For a few moments, I'd like to talk with you once again from the subject, God's system of salvation. God's system of salvation. And today we'll be on part two of this series of preaching. And this part of this series of preaching is called the justification. The justification. And my proposition to you is this. He designed you to receive salvation. He designed you to receive salvation. My brothers and my sisters, last Sunday, we didn't get too far into our message because the Holy Spirit moved so powerfully on us. All I could do for 10 to 15 minutes was praise God. And we know that was an awesome movement in God. Amen. Amen. A man like me, I don't like to cry in front of people, but I couldn't help myself. When God moves, you answer. When God says something, you listen. And when God pours into you, you receive. And God gave me something that I needed to receive. Amen? Amen. Amen. So we didn't get too far into our message, but we did talk with you about the call in God's system of salvation. And that call, we know, is a call that's predestined on our lives. And not only is the call predestined on our lives, in that predestined call, there is an election. And I express to you that the election occurs and that call occurs before we're even born, before we make any decisions on this side of heaven. Everything that we decide that we're going to do, we make before we get here. And I said to you that makes us aware of perhaps there is a premortal life that we have before we get here. Because the Bible says that when God spoke to Jeremiah, he said unto him, I knew you before you were born. Well, lets us know that there is a relationship with God on the other side before we get here. And when we have that relationship with God, we make every decision that we're going to make before we get here. Everything that we do, every word that we say, every action that we make, we actually do that before we get here. I know that's a lot to take in and a lot to digest.
Come to Bible study, we'll help you understand that. But we realize that there is a life before this life. And everything is ordained by God and predestined by God and designed by God and ordered by God to happen in a certain way. And the tricky part about it, the complicated part about it, if you will, is that God allows a free will to be a part of this process. He doesn't make you do these things. He allows you to make the decision on what you're going to do. And because of the decision that you make, God put things in order. God put things in order that we see on this side of life. As we sojourn through this life, we see the decisions that our souls made before we got here. God gives us this call because this call is intended to do something. This call is intended to wake us up. This call is intended to give us life. But in order for that to take place, in order for God to get you from the call to the glorification, he must use justification. Like I said, it is a call that gives you life, but it's justification that gives you righteousness. Without justification, we're all ungodly. We're all sinners doomed to hell. The Bible shares with us that we don't have the ability without God to live a righteous life. We're not strong enough. We can't fight that which we can't see. We don't have what we need without him. We can't live that life that many of us think that we can. Even those who are saved, some of us who are saved think we can just do what we want to do. And not live according to what God tells us to live so that we will be justified. I like to tell people all the time, the worst thing you can ever do is go to hell straight through the church. The Bible shares with us, we're going to be surprised with some people who won't be there. And we're going to be surprised of some of the people who will be there. Because it don't make any sense for us to do all of this, but still go to hell. And because we never received the call. What God does is he placed the Spirit of Christ in us. And it's the Spirit of Christ that's in us that hears the call. Amen. If you don't allow the Spirit of Christ to have its way in your life, you can't hear the call. Your natural ears can't hear this call. This call is a supernatural call. And only the supernatural can hear the supernatural. Your earthly ears can't hear this. Your earthly man can't receive this. Your earthly being can't digest this. But it's the Spirit of Christ that's in you that can hear it, receive it, and digest it. I'm trying to help somebody today. I know you're saying, well, Reverend, what are you talking about? I don't know what the Bible says about that. Turn to Romans 8:7-8, and it says this. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. And then it says, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And then it says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Listen to this. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have the Spirit of Christ, does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Your spirit can't receive this call. So in order for God to get you from the call to justification, he had to place the Spirit of Christ in you. But the only way that he can place the Spirit of Christ in you, you must be willing to receive the Spirit of Christ. But in order for you to be willing to receive a predestinated call, if it's predestinated, that means it already happened. Which means God has already entered the world. Which means everything that we are doing, we have already done. Lord have mercy. In other words, what you see yourself doing ain't nothing new. Some of us think we're doing new stuff. Some of us think we're doing stuff that don't nobody know about. I want you to know God already know. Amen. He knew you was going to do it before you thought that you could do it. Because he's already had that conversation with you. He already gave you that warning, don't go down that road. Amen. But you decide to do it anyway. But how does he get us from the call to justification? How does he place the spirit in us of Christ if Christ hasn't come yet? Well, because of the predestination, we understand that in the mind of God, Christ is already dead. In the mind of God, Christ has already been slain. He had already gone on the cross before the world had even been created. In the mind of God, everything that needed to happen already happened. One important thing that happened that we needed to happen was that when it came to the soldiers, God set it up so they wouldn't break Christ's legs. He set it up so that they would stab him in the side and blood would come out. So in order to get us from the justification, he must see the blood of Jesus Christ. So when he looks at us and he looks at us in our sinful nature, it's not us that he sees, but he sees the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus acts as a filter. So when he looks through that blood and sees us, all he sees is purity. Somebody ought to give God some praise. Trying to help somebody here today. Trying to help somebody receive salvation. You know, just because we go to church don't mean you're going to get it. That's right. I want you to know going to church don't get you salvation. Amen? Amen. If so, Jesus would have told that thief, get down off this cross, go to church. Have a few Sundays where you're on your knees, then come back to me. But that's not what he said. Now, he does have a place for the church. That's why he said, forsake not the solemn assembly and the gathering of yourself together. Because we are supposed to come here where we combine our thoughts, our spirits, so we can join and become more powerful, become disciples of God, where we can go out into the world and be strong. Amen. But the church is not what gives you salvation. It's a justification that gives you salvation. If you don't allow him to speak to your spirit, and if you don't receive what he says to your spirit, then you don't have justification. A lot of us are so wrapped up in church traditions, we don't understand when God is moving because we think the tradition is more powerful than God. But that tradition is not going to get you justified. It's you listening to God speak to your spirit that brings about the justification. And the belief that Jesus Christ did die on the cross and the belief that Jesus Christ did shed blood on your behalf. Amen. That's what gets you from the call to justification. Now, what does justification does? What does it do for me, Reverend? It cleanses you. It makes you whole. It covers your weaknesses. It makes you smell good in the nostrils of God. Amen. It makes you the salt of the earth. Where when God needs something to keep him from taking the world back, he looks at you and says, there's one good one. There's one that's worthy of the world not being destroyed. There's one worthy of me giving them all of my love. There's one worthy. I don't think we realize who we are. I don't think we realize what we mean to this world. Because as Christians who are justified by God, it's you who keep God from taking this world back. It's you who keep God happy with this world. It's you who keeps God's hands from moving. He justified you. He uplifted you. He placed you where man could see you so that man still knows that he has all power. I got to take my glasses off for this one. So many of us, we like coming to church, sitting, not doing much because we don't want to be obligated to stuff. I want you to know you're already obligated. I want you to know God already has things for you to do. And your sitting does not excuse you. Your non-activity does not excuse you. Your decision to sit down and not do nothing does not excuse you. Because it's not your call. It's his call. Did you hear me? It's not your call. It's his call. He called you. He justified you. And he called you and justified you to do some work. Now, we don't work to be saved. We work because we are saved. Amen. Let me help you understand that. So when you do something wrong, don't think you can go do some good things and make God happy. The extra work you're doing, yes, good. Thank you for the extra work. But that extra work does not make you look good in the eyesight of God because he already sees you as good. That's why you ought to work till you can't work no more. The Bible says work while it's day, for surely shall come a time when man can't work. In other words, what are you waiting on? He called you, he justified you, and in him calling you and justifying you, he gave you a purpose. He intends for you to do something. And let's not sit here and listen to me on Sundays, and that's it. But there's something that he called you to do. He ordained you to do. He predestined you to do some powerful things here in the earth. He set things in motion so that when you work, his power will fall. When you work, his love will be with you. When you work, his power will carry you. When you work, he actually will tell you to get back and he'll do it. But you got to put forth the effort. If you don't put forth the effort, he won't move on your behalf. We are justified and called to do work, not so we can be saved, but because we are already saved. God justified us to work in the kingdom of God. But it's not our work, but his grace and his mercy. Romans 4 and 4 through 5 says this, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. It's not your works that's going to save you. It's your faith that's going to save you. Because your faith is tied to being justified. He came so that you can do his will, not because you need to work to be saved, but because he's already saved you. I think we look at things in reverse. So many of us think we had to work out our soul salvation, because to know that you're already saved is too easy. But what I want you to know, you're already saved. He just needs for you now to go and do the work. Stop waiting on him. Now we'll blame so many things on God that's not of God when it's your fault. Church ain't growing. You know why? Because you ain't working. Church ain't moving. You know why? Because you're not doing anything. You can't expect for things to happen by osmosis. You just sit there and wait on it to fall out the sky. That's not how this works. When you're out there in the kingdom of God, you ought to be sharing God with everybody. Because everybody needs God. I don't care who they are in this world, they need God. And we ought to be reaching those who we're in contact with every day, because actually we're just like them. Because when you look at this text, you find out that God came from the ungodly. And guess who's the ungodly? All of us. All of us are considered to be the ungodly. But what I want you to know, church, that since all of us are ungodly, he's already given us what we need to become godly. If you have weak areas in your life, allow God to have his reign there. You have areas in your life where you're struggling, allow God to work in those areas. Just because you're justified don't mean that you don't have weaknesses. Just because you're considered to be the righteous don't mean that you have everything together. But if you allow him to have rule in that area of your life, he said he'll strengthen you and make you better. I don't know about you, but I want to be better. I don't know about you. I want to be stronger. Just because I've been called and just because I've been justified don't mean everything in my life is all together. What it means is I need to do some more work. Because he comes for the sin sick. Amen? Which means I have some stuff I need to get out of me that's not pleasing to him. I got some stuff I need to remove from me that's not pleasing to him. And the only way to do that is allow the Spirit of Christ to have his way. The only way to do that, church, is to stop being selfish when it comes to God. Stop putting God somewhere down the line. He's already saved you. Why would he give you such a beautiful gift and then you turn around and say, okay, you number three in my life, when he ought to be number one? This is not a shouting message. Hopefully this one is hitting home and making somebody squirm in their seats. He ought to be number one. If he's anything else than number one, then you're not operating according to his will. I don't care if you're prosperous in whatever you're doing. If he's not number one in it, you're not operating according to his will. Don't be fooled about the gift that Satan can give you. It troubles me when I see people who are politicians and who are whatever in this country and in this state and in this city who goes to church but do evil things on Monday. Just because some man said you ought to separate church and state. You cannot separate church and state because you are the church. Unless you are an amoeba. And for those of us who don't know what an amoeba is, it's something that can divide itself and split into multiple parts. You and I can't do that. So wherever you go, the church has gone, because you are the church. When you get there, the church is there. And you ought to operate just like you are in church, because you are the church. Glory be to God. Give God a hand clap of praise. The doors of my Father's house are now open. If there will be any, the time is now. The Bible says, find God while he is near, for surely shall come a time where God cannot be found.
to Jesus, come to just now. Oh, come, come to Jesus just now.
Amen. We'll all say, give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. God has already made everything possible for you. I want to share that with you because I think that a lot of us are struggling with things, especially in our spirit, because we don't understand that everything has already been laid out for you. So if there is trouble on that journey, know that since God has already laid everything out for you, he's already made provisions for you. So when you're going through, you're not only going through for yourself, but in many cases, you're going through for those who are watching you because they want to see how you operate when something is not good in your life, to see if God really is real. And if you operate to God the way that God intends for you to operate while you're in that storm, when God pulls you out, guess what? He's pulling other people out too through you. So don't be concerned when you go through. Don't be concerned when you think about deliverance and salvation in reference to your issues, because in your issues, God has already given you everything that you need. Amen? Amen. Let us bow our heads. Father God, we come now to say thank you. Thank you, Master, for this day. Thank you for our journey. And Master, I'm going to go ahead and be prophetic and say thank you for those storms that are coming. We're going to go ahead and shout. We're going to go ahead and give you praise because we realize that if they are coming, so is a blessing. Behind every storm is a blessing. Behind every mountain is paradise. Behind every valley is peace. Behind all darkness is joy. We say thank you now because we believe that we can make it through. Because we know that if we can't do it physically by ourselves, you will pick us up and carry us. So we say thank you. So as we leave this place and go, Master, and face our giants, face our valleys, face our storms, face our ups, face our downs, we know you got us, and we know you will pull us through. As the words say, we're going through, not to stay, but to go through. As we walk, let us walk in power. As we talk, let us talk with conviction. As we move, let us move by your spirit. So man, yes, see that you are God and there is no other. We ask now these blessings in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray. Let our hearts say amen.